Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and joining us now is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate hearing your voice on our airwaves and appreciate your time. Elliot, explain this to me.
Okay.
Chicago Blackhawks intentionally tank this year. They sell it off to Tank, and then you go through the horrible controversy and the sexual abuse that has riddled that organization with the former coaches and former coaching staff, and they are rewarded by winning the draft lottery. Make it make sense to me.
I don't think anyone's going to be able to. Look, I don't think obviously those two are not the same things.
Of course. I
don't like tanking personally, Carolyn. I if you take a look at it, it happened in a lot of places, and it's happened pretty consistently throughout the NHL. I mean, the year of Connor McDavid, there was a lot of tanking going on. The year with Austin Matthews, there was tanking going on. You know, this year there was definitely tanking going on. I don't like it, but it happens. And some other leagues, including the NBA, are riddled with tanking. And it's, you know, I'm not crazy about it. You know, the other thing, the Kyle Beach situation, I'm with you. I wasn't crazy about it when I saw it. And I have no doubt that there are people who like lived through that or had to deal with the repercussions of that, that it's very painful for them to see it. And, you know, you can't go back and change it in terms of the penalties that were given, but I don't think you're alone, Carolyn. I think there's a lot of people who look at it and don't feel great about it. And I'm one of them.
Just a horrific situation there. Speaking of that, with the first overall pick and winning the draft lottery, it seems pretty good as done that Connor Bedard will be a Chicago Blackhawk. Is he as advertised?
Oh yeah, he's legit. There's a reason that there's a reason, Carolyn, that there were teams doing this year. Over the last couple of years, you could see the talent. You could see the competitive nature of them. I understand Nashville's amateur scouts are in town this week meeting, and I'm sure if you ask them, they would tell you the same thing. We saw him at the World Juniors this year. He was incredible. He has really good reputation, too, for the way he is off the ice. You know, for example, when they won the World Juniors this year, he was asked a question, and he talked more about his teammates, and he talked about himself. His junior team this year in the Western Hockey League, they were called the Regina Pats. Like, they were not a great team. They were not, they were a low seed in the playoffs. They weren't a contender for the championship. They lost their first round in 7 games. He was unbelievable. But during the year, there was this big controversy about should he be traded to a team that had the better chance to win the Memorial Cup, which is the Canadian Junior Championship. And he refused. He said he wasn't interested in the debate. He wasn't interested in being traded. He wanted to play the year out with the same team. I think a lot of people kind of understood after thinking about it why he felt the way he did. So he's a really talented guy. He's a great player. He will be a great player. But I think also that, like, his makeup has scored a lot of points too.
Elliot, now, Trotsy was on, Barry Trotz was on one of our morning show not too long ago. And they asked him about, again, about John Hines and you know, where is he at in his process with John Hines? And he said he's still evaluating the situation, still evaluating the coach. Is that, how do you take that? Because we are, what, a month and a half removed from the season. And, you know, when they did their press conference right after the season, you know, Barry came in and said, listen, I need to evaluate the coaching staff and everything else, and then I make my determination based on that. But now we're a month removed from that, and you're still in that evaluation stage. What do we make of that?
I will say this, Derek. I think it's unusual. You know, as I said to you last week, the biggest challenge is there's no resume of Barry Trotz as a general manager to understand what his history is and what this should mean. So we're getting a live lesson right now into how he thinks, what his process is, and we can't compare it to anything he's done in his past, which is why I won't jump to conclusions on it. As I said to you, it is unusual. This doesn't normally happen. However, I made sure I listened to the clip that was posted on your Twitter feed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it says to me that it's still more likely than not that Hines is coming back. I could be totally wrong about this, but I didn't hear anything there that made me think that John Hines is in danger of being let go. I do wonder about the overall, and this is purely my opinion, I wonder about the overall composition of the coaching staff. Could some changes be being made that way? Is Trotz the kind of guy who would be the person who would say, if I'm making an announcement, I'm making one at the same time? We're not doing this in stages. We're doing it all at once. That's something I've thought of. But based on the quotes I heard the other day, I didn't get the impression that it sounds like he's leaning towards making a change. I think the one thing that I'm still curious about here is if Hines is coming back, is he going to go into the last year of his deal, or are the Predators thinking of extending him in any way, shape, or form?
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, another thing that Barry Trotz said in the interview, it's just fun to listen to him talk hockey. And this is the kind of thing you guys get into sometimes on your podcast. But one observation he made about the playoffs, and there was another example last night, he said he's noticing more lopsided games, and his theory is there are teams that are young, a little more skill-based, and they gamble more. The risk and reward, they're taking more risk. And so when a team's behind by one or two, that risk sometimes is leading to a flurry of goals, and all of a sudden you've got a playoff game that's 4-0 in the second period where a team doesn't feel like they could be patient and work their way back in the game. It was an interesting thing to me, and just off the top of my head, I don't know what it's like as opposed to 10 years ago, but it does seem like there's more lopsided games with some of the firepower we're seeing.
In this round, I think so. I do believe that. I think, first of all, I'm not going to argue with Barry Trotz. If that's his theory, it's better than any theory I've got, that's for sure. The one thing I do wonder about is, you know, the playoffs start, the excitement's all there, and everybody is supercharged, and the puck drops, and we have an incredible first round with a lot of great games. And then I think, you know, the first round there's a lot of adrenaline, and then I think after the first round it becomes a lot of, okay, how good are you really, and can you survive? You know, I think that there's, for one thing, I'm a big guy. John Tortorella always used to say, probably still does, there's no such thing as momentum in the playoffs. if you lose by 10 or you lose by one, it's just one loss. It doesn't need to carry over. And good teams don't let it carry over. I believe that's very true. So I think it becomes a bit more roller coastery. And I think there are teams, and I remember some veterans telling me about this once years ago. Sometimes when you're down big in a game, you've simply got to concede, especially if you're leading in a series and there's still plenty of series to go. Sometimes it's not your night. And in that way, I think there are times like a 3-0 game can become a 6-0 game.
I also think sometimes you just get on a roll, you get the puck bouncing your way. It happens in the regular season, so it's going to happen some in the playoffs. I thought about this a lot with the Panthers leading the Maple Leafs 3-0. They had won 6 straight games. Yep. It's just hard to have everything go right in such close games that long. So I wasn't that surprised that the Maple Leafs extended the series. I'm really curious what it looks like, and you guys talked about this on your show, on your podcast the other day, coming back to Toronto at home, down 3-1, what that place is going to be like, or what range of things could happen in a game like that.
Well, my partner, Jeff Merrick, he said it would be very Leaf if they won Game 4 yesterday in Florida and lost Game 5 at home. And I kind of laughed about that. I thought that was pretty funny. Look, I will say this, like it was 12 days ago that the Maple Leafs beat Tampa and ended their 19-year playoff curse. They actually won a round. And if you would have told me that we'd be here now and all the goodwill would be out the window and these fans would be furious again, I wouldn't have believed it. And I just think that they have to give them a great effort on Friday night. I thought they played really hard last night. They had a rookie goalie making his first playoff start. He did a nice job. They did a really nice job in front of them. They protected them. They gave up very few grade A chances. Now, I think they have to do it again. As we just kind of talked about, the hardest thing in the playoffs is being consistent. And they have to be consistent 4 straight games. They've now done it once. Now they got to do it twice, and they got to do it 2 more times after that.
Before we let you go, Elliot, real quick, as you know, down here, only the diehards have probably even watched Connor Bedard play very much.
Yep.
But everybody here who's a Predator fan knows the Predators have the 15th pick now.
Yeah.
In general, what are you hearing about the level of player compared to maybe other years of what might be there around 15?
This is a very strong draft. It would not be wise for me to give you specific names. I think maybe I'll do a bit of homework next week and I'll come back with those. There are drafts every year that get, just like any other sport, they're strong drafts and weak drafts. This is considered a very strong draft. And I think the players, the Predators probably feel that they're going to get a very good player there, depending on what they decide to do.
Elliot, always appreciate chatting with you. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Awesome. You too. Yep. Thanks, Elliot. Coming up next, it is NFL schedule release day. We'll check in some leaks, what the Titans schedule is looking like, how the rest of the division is shaping up. All that coming up next on Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I think 5 years from now, the NFL schedule release will be nearly as big of a production as the NFL draft. I think there'll be a massive live event with musical acts, fans, celebrities, and I think that they will announce it and unveil the schedule just nearly in the same kind of ballpark of stature as the NFL draft. I think it's going to get that big. That is the, if you ever want to explain to someone, to your kids, or just someone at work, someone you're talking to, how big is the NFL? How popular is it? Just the schedule of games for the NFL is bigger than the championship games in most other sports. Just a piece of paper with the schedule, Indianapolis at TEN, BAL at CIN, it's gold. It's better than the game. It's not just better than the games, it's better than the playoff games. It's bigger, more popular, more reactive than some of the championship games of other sports. So I'm not even joking. Is the NFL schedule release, which is going to be in a couple days on Thursday, Is it a top 10 sports day in America in 2023?
That was Kyle Brandt on the NFL Network. A top 10 sports day in America.
Look, they got a lot of time to fill on that channel these days, man.
Too rich for my blood. Yeah, I mean, I do have to give the NFL credit, though. The NFL has made millions and millions of dollars making very uneventful events incredibly eventful. The draft, the NFL Combine, the hype, the lead-up, the performances, the fanfare, the full extravaganza of it all. The NFL has found a way to make every uninteresting event incredibly interesting and be able to monetize it. I think the schedule release day is, Kyle Brandt's probably right, it's next. We look at every social media group across the league, every social media team. They make these beautiful graphics and these really in-depth videos, and they spend weeks and months coming up with the theme for the year. I mean, it's really impressive. So I would not be surprised if you start to see the NFL schedule release having the same amount of pomp and circumstance as you might see for the draft.
Yeah, and we haven't heard anything. We haven't gotten any leaks of what, you know, the Titans schedule, have we? No leaks from the Titans.
Yeah, where's Diana Rossini?
Where's Diana?
What fun is that?
We need a leak, Diana.
Absolutely. Everything else is leaked. Why we can't get this leaked?
When it matters, it's all leaked. When it doesn't matter, when I just need a little bit of tea, a little bit of something to get me going throughout the day to know that the Titans are playing the Jags week 10, I got nothing.
Oh, my goodness. Gosh. When you need them, they're not there. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I mean, the NFL has done, you know, it's truly a machine. The NFL is truly a machine, and there's no other league like it. There are leagues that come close to it. Hell, no, there's not no leagues that come close to it. Other than if you're talking internationally, you're talking soccer internationally, then it dwarfs the NFL from an international standpoint. But we're talking here in North America. The NFL has found their niche, and they found the way to promote their product, and it's better than anything out there. I mean, like you said, they're turning a day of scheduling into this big, huge thing where it's a party. Teams are doing all crazy things with their social media and everything else. So you just got to applaud those that run the sort of this portion of the NFL, because they've been doing a wonderful job at seriously promoting their product 365 days a year. You know, for a long time, football was only, you know, 5-6 months out of the year. But they found a way to make this thing 365 days. There's not a day that there's not something about football being talked about. It's not a day.
Totally.
And they've embraced it. I believe there's going to come a day where every day this ends in Y will be played. Football will be played. NFL football will be played. That's how popular the sport is in North America. Like, we may think, no, we don't need football every day. But they start sprinkling it in there on days, and you start to love it a little bit more. And it's like, man, you just can't get away from it.
And it doesn't surprise me that somebody who is employed by the league network is saying top 10 sports day in the calendar. Like, what?
Why wouldn't they?
Number one is NFL schedule release day. Number two, Super Bowl. Like, seriously, like, a little bit too much for me. But it has been. It has transpired into this almost like cult following on social media. Once we get to this time of year, you know, you're dropping out little hints and everyone's following the NFL schedule leakers on Twitter. I'm guilty of doing it. Mm-hmm. It has become something that everyone gets excited about. It's a reason to stay invested in the NFL, even in a month where there's zero football being played.
Here's where I think the NFL just... It totally really like got it right, and from there on it just sort of like, okay, now all of our bases is truly covered. Like, if we wanted to talk football every day, we can, or we wanted to play football every day, we can. The minute the NFL, because for so long the NFL was for who? Men. It was for men, you know, boys watching football, growing up playing football. Very sad. I didn't see my mom sit there and watch a football game a day of her life. But we did as kids. My sisters didn't watch day of football in their life. But we did it. The boys did, or my dad did. Mm-hmm. The minute the NFL said, you know what? We got a problem here. If we want to reach everybody, we need to get the moms, the women, in on this. The minute they got the women to love the sport, like outwardly love the sport, they won completely. Because now it's not just a, on Sunday, a man's thing. It's a family affair. Families are going to the game. Women are enjoying the game. They're having fun. They're having Super Bowl parties, or they're having
they're having Sunday fights in the stands.
Exactly.
It's I'm just kidding.
Not fights.
Kidding.
But
also,
even though that does happen,
I've seen a couple.
But the minute they capture that faction of the audience, game over. Mm-hmm. There's nothing the NFL can't do now.
Yeah.
If they wanted to have it every day, they could possibly. If they found out a way to have it every day, they could.
They're pretty darn close.
The thing that I, you know, I'm okay with it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. That's great. I love football like the next guy. But I'm more of a football during football season. Mm-hmm. I have other. What I feel like has happened is like some people have narrowed their focus so much. Like they're so diehard in football, they don't want to hear about or watch other stuff. Like you can love other sports too.
Yeah.
Like sometimes at the expense of, like I'm much more interested in the games that are being played in the various sports. I'm watching the Mets get beat again right now. But, you know, the NBA, the NHL playoffs,
exactly.
Give me a game. Like, the schedule release, even the draft is hard for me to watch after a certain point. You know, certain things I'm watching. But I'm not one of those guys that just, like, oh, I can't wait for the draft. I got to watch the whole draft. And to their credit, they find an audience for this stuff. But it fascinates me why you would want to pay attention to that more than a game that's going on the same day. It never ceases to amaze me.
It's great marketing, I guess. It is great marketing that the NFL has done. So what is the Titans schedule shaping up to look like? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus your thoughts as well. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 1025, 1063, The Game and The Game at Nashville app. Some schedule updates around the NFL. The schedule released tonight at 7 o'clock local time, but we've gotten some leaks here and there. But before we get into that, be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater on July 25th.
All right, here's the question. Schedule's coming out. So let's go back into a scheduling moment. This is going to be a little twist because it's not going to be quite as easy as you might think. The Titans, remember, they became the Titans. I'll never forget.
Remember the Titans?
I remember the Titans.
Yeah.
The reveal of the uniforms and everything. Remember, for a couple years, like, are they ever going to change the nickname? It's the Tennessee Oilers. There's no oil in Tennessee. We got to change the name, all of this stuff. Finally, they quote, retired the Oilers nickname, and they said there will be a new nickname. Then they named them the Titans. And, of course, it coincided with the new stadium, which at that time was called Adelphia Coliseum. So the schedule, finally everybody got what they wanted. New stadium, new nickname. So the schedule came out. What was the first game played in Adelphia Coliseum involving the Titans? Preseason, not regular season. So the first time everybody got to go to the stadium, see a game with the Titans in the uniforms. Home game.
D-Mace knows it.
Well, I wonder. Let's see if D-Mace knows it. 737-1025. Area code 615, of course. 615-737-1025. If you want to go to see John Fogerty, can you remember the first game that the new Tennessee Titans played in the new stadium, Adelphia Coliseum, preseason game?
Good luck with Willie's trivia, everybody. And as far as the leaks are concerned around the NFL scheduling with the Titans, a whole big fat nothing. A whole big fat nothing has been leaked.
Come on, Diana.
Yeah, seriously. We need Diana's leaking abilities. I mean, everybody and their mother knew that the Titans wanted to trade up to number 3 to take C.J. Stroud, but I don't even know who's playing the Titans week 1. But we can pick up a few breadcrumbs here and there. Jacksonville. Of course, we do know the Titans are playing Baltimore week 6 in London. So we do know that.
Mm-hmm.
We do know for certain the Tennessee Titans will not be playing Jacksonville through the first 6 weeks of the season. Why does that matter? The trade deadline comes around week 8, week 9, right around Halloween. This past year is November 1st. I think it would be important if you want to make some pretty big decisions, maybe some pivotal decisions about the direction of your team, to have played one of your in-division rivals by then. So we do know by week 6 the Titans would not have played Jacksonville. Jacksonville and Indianapolis kick off the season week 1, and then Jacksonville plays Kansas City, Houston, Atlanta, and Buffalo weeks 1 through 5, and then you go on the road to London to take on Baltimore. So at least we know that. Indianapolis, Jacksonville, head-to-head week 1. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see two in-division rivals go head-to-head week 1.
Yeah, it will be. I think you will... It's good to have sort of that game as your first game. Well, at least it's good for the winner because now you have a game up on everybody in the division.
Set the tone early in the division.
And we get an opportunity to see possibly Richardson and Trevor Lawrence go head up against one another, whether teams are going head up against each other. So I think that's a good matchup because you want to see what the AFC South can potentially look like this season. If Jacksonville comes out and they dominate that game, then now they've set the precedent. This is, you know, people are going to be picking Jacksonville even more if they can come first game of the season and beat Indianapolis, especially if they beat them in a fashion that's convincing. So it will set a tone for Jacksonville and their fan base and everybody else. Because I guarantee you, if Jacksonville wins that game and they win it in grand fashion, the next day it's just going to be Jacksonville just love fest everywhere outside of, you know, in it, from a national standpoint.
Oh, it is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars show.
Exactly. So it's good to have games like that. I did wish the Titans, well, we don't know if they may play Houston in the first 6 weeks, because I don't think Houston's schedule has been leaked, to my knowledge.
Let's see, Houston. They play Jacksonville week 3 at Jacksonville, and they host the Steelers week 4. But really, other than that,
That's all we know.
That's all we know.
Yeah, so I'm sure.
It could be a Houston Titans matchup week 1.
I'm sure there's
AFC
going
South
to be a Houston matchup or... I'm sure there's going to be a Houston and Tennessee matchup somewhere within that first 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. This time of year, you know, you get this and you see it and it's exciting. But, you know, it's going to eventually go away and then something else is going to be exciting. Have its ebbs and flows. Right now, we're not talking about much, so the schedule comes out and everybody's excited about that. But then... the excitement again will be once it actually comes out and everybody sees it, because everybody now is just like, oh, who do we play? Who do we play? Oh, my goodness. Some leaks here, some leaks there, but not the whole thing. And then when it all comes out, then it's just going to be a frenzy.
It is a total frenzy.
Exactly. ESPN, it's going to be on ESPN all day today and even tomorrow.
And there are some schedule changes this year. Mm-hmm. Now, not every team is guaranteed a primetime game. You know, previously everyone played on a Thursday night. Now that's not necessarily the case. So keeping that in mind, do we expect the Titans to have a primetime game this year? I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Okay, but what are you counting as a primetime game?
Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football.
What is the rule? Do you have to have at least one, at least on a Thursday? I thought that was something for a while.
They changed that this year. That was the thing for a while, that everyone had a Thursday night game. Now no team is guaranteed a primetime game
but
on a Thursday
are,
night game.
But they do have the ability to flex, right?
They have the ability to flex.
So you'd have to earn it.
Yeah, so to start off,
I guess that
makes
sense.
They would have one just because of this, just because of these three factors. Derrick Henry, that defense, and Mike Vrabel. I think those three things right there will get them at least one primetime game. More importantly, Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel. That will get them at least one primetime game. Now, whether it's Sunday night, Monday, or Thursday, I think they get one of them.
Now that I'm
beside
looking at
the prime time with Baltimore, because that's overseas, and is it
prime
time?
Oh, that's interesting.
It's at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but
that's not prime watching time.
It's not prime watching time, but it's only game on.
But it's not on unless you're in your local market, right? Or unless you've got the package.
Yeah, you have to watch it on.
Which is new this year. Like now, you have a different way that you got to get all the games if you do
that. That is true. And looking at some of the primetime games that have been leaked so far, of course, the Titans games have not been leaked, but we've gotten a bunch of games around the league that have been leaked. The Packers' entire schedule has been leaked. Looking at some teams and some matchups that have gotten primetime nods, Saints at Panthers on Monday Night Football. Bears at Vikings on Monday Night Football. I mean, those aren't necessarily, like, people aren't rushing to the box office to watch Vikings at Broncos on Sunday Night Football. So maybe there will be a Titans game in there.
It all depends. I can see why they put the Broncos on. Now that they have Sean Payton, they just figure things are going to change with the Broncos. Bears and Packers, that's just a historic game.
It is.
I'd be stunned if they have a Sunday night game.
Who?
The Titans.
I would not be surprised to see a Thursday night.
Yeah. So, y'all believe it'd be more of a Thursday night game than a Sunday or a Monday.
I don't see a Sunday night game happening.
Yeah,
unless they get
that's flexed. Those are the premier games. So Monday night wouldn't totally shock me if it's against, I don't know, somebody that's got a little more national thump.
Unless it's a Bengals Titans game, like against a true Super Bowl contender, or at least how we view these teams to be Super Bowl contenders, I don't see the Titans being on Sunday night.
It's going to be tough for them to get a Sunday, because they don't do they. Because I know they flex out to Thursday. They just started flexing out to Thursday again. Because that's when it first started, they would flex the Thursday's game. And then they stopped.
They stopped
everybody.
Flexing.
Yeah, and now they're back to flexing. So that is that also Monday and Sunday as well?
You can flex Monday and Sunday.
If that's the case, then I guess it depends on how the season's going for the Titans.
Maybe so.
Because I can
get flexed
see,
out.
I can see them getting
do well.
Yeah, I can see them getting flexed in. If it's a division game and say Jacksonville and Tennessee are both like neck and neck, or Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Indianapolis, all three of those teams are neck and neck, I can see those teams, if they are playing that week, they can get flexed into a Sunday or a Monday.
Looking at kind of the primetime counter, there are three teams that are tied for the most games in a primetime slot this season.
Dallas is one.
Shockingly,
it's not.
Dallas is not one of them. Where is Dallas? Dallas has two.
Okay.
There's one team in here that makes no sense at all.
Oh.
So Kansas City's one of them with five. They have five primetime games, and that's just what's been leaked so far, so there could be more. Makes sense. Defending Super Bowl champions. Mm-hmm. They have a superstar quarterback. Get it. Green Bay is another one. Not a superstar quarterback, but, a historic franchise. Mm-hmm. Can you guess the third with five primetime games, at least so far?
The third. God. I would say the Jets with Aaron Rodgers.
They have two.
They only have two? Wow.
Two.
Denver.
Minnesota.
Seriously?
Minnesota has five primetime games.
Wow.
And they play the Eagles on Thursday Night Football, so defending Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. They play the Broncos on Sunday Night Football, the Packers on Sunday Night Football, and then they have two Monday Night games. So that's four.
Minnesota?
Minnesota. That's five.
I think that's cap.
That ain't cap.
Minnesota? Five? Minnesota?
Maybe the Titans do have a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
But we don't go. Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Gosh. Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins, superstar.
Come on. He's
an elite quarterback to me. He's an elite quarterback.
Derek Mason.
Green and white.
Hey, we got to stick. I'm sticking with my boys. Just like Drew Stanton.
You heard it here first. Derek Mason thinks Kirk Cousins is an elite quarterback.
Absolutely.
Josh Allen
is
not.
He didn't wear that green and white, so he ain't elite.
Have you been hanging out with Chris Sanders recently? crazy Uncle Chris Sanders. He's rubbing off on you.
But Minnesota, I would have never thought Minnesota would have five primetime games.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of primetime games.
I'm going to go. This is a little crazy. I kind of like just having the games at noon for me. I like that. And yeah, then I'll watch the other. I just like my routine of watching Sunday noon. I kind of
old
like
school.
It. Yeah,
old school. Right.
There is something about
yeah.
Playing get it over with.
I hope they don't have five. Five would be too many. Like one or two, sure, but it's inconvenient when they're not Sunday at noon or three.
One or two is fun. Like when they played the Rams on Sunday Night Football, I thought that was so fun to look forward to, something a little bit different. When the Titans played the Bills, was that Sunday or Monday Night Football this past season?
Monday Night Football.
Yeah. That was too late for me. I got tired. It was a school night. So limiting them is totally fine. I do like the Sundays at noon, but I like looking forward to something, to the pomp and circumstance. Everybody's talking about the Titans. It's fun.
But I just think some stadiums are meant to be like played on a Sunday night or Monday night.
Like
just
Lambo.
It's like some stadiums, like Soldier Field. Like you just like if they played all their games Monday night, I don't think I would get tired of it because it's Soldier Field. It's just that place, Lambo, is that place, especially in the wintertime.
Those stadiums are meant to be played at night.
Oh, man.
And it's weird to see some stadiums in those situations, like Raymond James Stadium on Sunday night. Just didn't quite feel so right. Tom Brady on Sunday night. That's a match made in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember playing in Chicago. It's great.
Freezing.
We lost. But it was great. Just playing in that stadium. Just like all that history of just, man.
It's special. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Is Derek sweating? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025, 1063, the game.
Curry spins away from Schroeder, gets Reeves as his defender. Goes on Reeves. Step back, elbow, jumper, up and good. Second time in a row, Curry has settled for the two to make it 111-98.
D-Maze's Lakers fall in Game 5. They take it back to L.A. Lakers lead the series 3-2. Now, Derek, you had a pretty wild take the other day.
Yep.
We were transitioning. Jared was coming into the studio, and you said you think that Anthony Davis is the most important player on the Lakers roster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, AD left the game early last night. He got hit in the head by Kevon Looney. He exits the game in a little bit of a dramatic fashion. Lakers lose. I give you the floor now, D-Mace, to defend your take. No AD and the Lakers drop game five.
The Lakers, if you know anything about plus minuses, they do plus minus with all players. They had Gary Payton Jr. He was a plus, I think, like 21 last night, and he played 23 minutes. He was a plus 20 last night on the floor. That's huge. That's something they probably didn't account for, but he gave it to him. It's like hidden yardage in the NFL. When Anthony Davis is off the court, when he's not playing, the Lakers are minus 10. When he's not playing, they're minus 10. AD had 20 points before half. Guess how many points he ended up with? And I know he ended up leaving the game with like 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Guess how many points he ended up with? He had 20 before half. Guess how many points he ended up with?
Over 40?
23 points. He scored 3 points prior to leaving the game. Lakers end up losing. LeBron scored 25 points. LeBron, I think what people miss with watching LeBron and you know, AD and the Lakers team. LeBron is going to be the best. He is the best player in the game. And I only say that based upon his history, what he's able to do at 38. He's still one of, if not the best player, one of the best players in the game, hands down. I think people make a mistake when I say AD needs to be the best player on the court at that particular time. I'm not saying he's better than LeBron. I'm not saying that. Obviously, he's not. LeBron is the GOAT, you know. But in order for the Lakers to win, AD has to be the best player on the court. He has to be. When they won in a bubble, why did they win in a bubble? Beside it being in the bubble. Because AD was the best player on the court. Ask anybody who saw that whole thing go down. Ask experts. The reason the Lakers won, because he was the best player on the court. Plain and simple. AD, if he can just get everything to work right, he could probably be, when you talk about him at the end of his career, if he could just get everything, he would be talked about in the same breath as Shaq. because he can be dominant. If he had the mentality of Joel Embiid and he had that grit and that grind like Joel Embiid, the Lakers would be in a different situation today.
But I'll tell you this. You take LeBron away from the Lakers, mm-hmm. add in whoever else. Are they the Lakers? Are they the team that they are now?
No, LeBron needs to be there. That's like saying, you know, another team that may have won a championship. That's okay. Let's say Golden State. Uh-huh. Let's say Golden State. The year they won a championship with Steph and KD and Clay and Draymond. The best player on the court was KD. But the best, like, that guy that really had to make sure his game stayed to a level was Steph. He had to, even though KD was the best player, everybody knew KD was the best player. But if Steph doesn't do what he does, they're not winning. They're not. Because Steph brings more than just scoring to the table. He brings, you know, passing. You got to account for him wherever he's at on the court. He brings double teams, triple teams. That leaves other people open. That is AD. People are not double teaming LeBron as much. LeBron has had an off-shooting night from the three in this series. He has. People are not double teaming LeBron as much as they used to. But let AD get that block, get on that block. Or AD is in that paint. They're double teaming him. They've made a conscious effort to try to take AD out the game because they know once AD get going, it's hard to stop that Laker team. He's a matchup problem on the defensive end, and he's a matchup problem on the offensive end. A big guy, 7 foot, that can shoot a three-pointer, that can play on the low box, that can play with his back to the basket, that can play facing the basket. There's not many guys like that. That's why Joel Embiid is so dominant, because he can do all of those things, and he's just a beast. If AD is not playing at a certain level, anybody will tell you that watches basketball with the Lakers this year. If he's not playing at that level, then the Lakers more likely are not winning. Regardless of what LeBron do, LeBron would have to have a Herculean effort. Like I told somebody the other day, I said, LeBron can't win you a game by himself alone anymore. He can't. He just can't do it. He can keep you close. But when AD is at that level where he's playing and everything is clicking, there's no one that can beat the Lakers in the National Basketball Association. Nobody. When AD is going on both ends of the court, you're not going to be able, because LeBron's going to get his. He's going to get his. But AD is a dominant force. And if he dominates, when they lose, what happens? What do we say? AD didn't play well. We don't say LeBron didn't play well. When they lose, AD didn't play well. When they win,
his game seems to fluctuate. Exactly. More than anybody else. That's what's weird about this thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot riding on game six. I wouldn't want to go back to Golden State. I think everybody knew it was going to be tough to close it out at Golden State last night.
But then he got hit in the temple last night. It's like, dude, you got to, like, man, you got to get taken out in a wheelchair?
I'll say this about AD. He does go down a lot.
Yeah, he does.
He goes down. Here come the trainers. Because it's AD. He's down.
He is so
hot.
He
goes down a lot.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating as a Laker fan to know how important AD is to that team and to see how inconsistent he is. I mean, it's like Bud Dupree. Mm-hmm. What are you going to get this week?
Exactly.
Is he on IR or not?
It's like Darvin Ham understands. He knows. Like, LeBron's going to be LeBron. We know that. He's going to do his thing. But if AD isn't on that night, more than likely we're not winning. That's just how it is.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.